This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The science fiction podcast with original independent science fiction written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod, The Vatican Assassin Trilogy, and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the science fiction podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma, and I've got part two of chapter 17 of Vatican Ambassador on the way. BC isn't sure if the reason he's succeeding is because no one else wants his responsibilities. Or maybe there's just nobody left to take them on, except for him, as humankind gets taken out. Person by person, by a possible alien plague. BC is now Pope of the NCC, the New Catholic Church, and he's a CEO of The Project. Managed that one just recently. So he's in a much different place than when he was last on the moon. He's just arrived on Lunar Prime, and he's due to meet the governor, Amanda Erskine. And we'll check in with some old friends at the Vatican Mission as well, as we get into part two of chapter 17 on Glow in the Dark Radio. I want to give a big thank you to my patrons who help to support Glow in the Dark Radio. Without you, I wouldn't be able to keep this going, so thank you. And if you'd like to become a patron and help support the podcast, that would be awesome. You can do so at patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio, or just go to glowinthedarkradio.com and click where it says become a patron, and you go to Patreon. Patreon, P-A-T-R-E-O-N, is the site that helps me do this, helps me manage patrons, and lets me offer three different membership levels at $2 a month, $5 a month, and $10 a month. So folks sign up for whatever they want to do and then help support the podcast that way. And for those of you who do so, again, thank you so much for helping keep the podcast going. Another way you can help support my efforts is by picking up the calendar. There's probably no more time. It's about time now to order the calendar for Christmas or for the new year. I'm talking about my Ancient Stone Mysteries of New England calendar, which you can get through my ancientstonemysteries.com site. Just go there and click on the calendar at ancientstonemysteries.com for 12 full-color pictures of curious stonework and stone features and natural features around New England. Again, that's at ancientstonemysteries.com. And I've got a free comic book giveaway going on during the month of December, a PDF comic book. It is The Adventures of Alibi Jones number 3. That's featuring Alibi Jones' Christmas present. A single story, done in one. The art is by Casey Bouchard for Alibi Jones in the present. And the art in the past is by Christian Navarro and Juan Carlos Quatordio, who both did the art for the Vatican Assassin graphic novel. So this free PDF is available now. There's 15 of them, so it's a limited quantity for a limited time throughout the month of December. Act now to get yours. You can use the link in the show notes. It's a link-specific discount, so you need to use that link to head to Drive Through Comics and get yourself a free PDF of The Adventures of Alibi Jones, number 3. That's where Alibi accidentally travels back in time and meets BC, his father. Alibi Jones' Christmas present in The Adventures of Alibi Jones number 3, free throughout this month of December through drivethroughcomics.com. Just follow the link in the show notes to get your free PDF comic book. We'll get into Chapter 17, Part 2, next on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Wake up. Go to work. Work. Come home. Eat dinner. Rot your brain out. Go to bed. Lather. Rinse. Repeat. Are you tired of an old humdrum life? Tired of things that just weigh you down and depress you? Wouldn't you rather just focus on things that are awesome? Tune into Nutty Bites. Find out what's awesome. Nutty Bites. NIMLAS.org/blog.
Now here's Vatican Ambassador, Chapter 17, Part 2, on Glow in the Dark Radio. Once in the spaceport, BC knows his way around. He walks through the port, through the atrium, and down the corridors to the Vatican mission, and the offices he left not long ago. BC smiles as he opens the door and sees his replacement as ambassador sitting at the desk. "Mbeki, you old dog, how the fuck are ya?" Cardinal Mbeki smiles and then frowns. His eyes glance deliberately sideways. BC follows his eyes and sees Amanda Erskine is standing there in the office. "Sorry, Madam Governor," BC says. He regains his composure. "How are you, Governor Erskine?"
"I'm fine," she says, then stops.
"What should I call you?" she asks.
"What, here now?"
BC asks her. She nods.
"BC is still fine. I prefer it, actually."
"Okay then, BC," she says with a little emphasis. "You're certainly not the usual, papal type, are you?"
"Thanks, I think," BC says, taking it as a left-handed compliment. "Sorry about the F-bomb," he apologizes.
"I've heard it before," she says with a laugh.
"Not to worry." She sits down on the couch behind her. "Come, sit down, BC," Mbeki says warmly. "Welcome back."
"Thanks," BC says. He sits down.
"Glad to see you're not missing, BC," Mbeki says.
"I never was," BC insists.
"Image control," Governor Erskine says.
"What?" BC asks.
"You need to work on your image control," Erskine says to BC.
"You might want to travel incognito, but the Pope really can't," she says.
"Can he?" BC bristles a bit, but takes in what she's saying.
"I did, at least for a little while."
"Fine, you did," Erskine says. "But then your absence created a news story. You've got to manage your image better. Be aware that your actions have consequences," she explains. "You've conducted yourself well when you've been in the media spotlight. Good image management there. It's important to present the image of a young, strong, and healthy leader of the new Catholic Church. It plays well."
"I've been trying to be good," BC says. "I bottle up all my incivility until I can unleash it on my friends," he jokes.
"Oh," she says. "Am I a friend, then?"
"I didn't know you were here," BC says a little more coldly than he means to.
"Ouch," she says. "How long have we known one another?"
"A couple of years, isn't it?"
"I guess," BC says.
"Sure."
"And you weren't one of McIntyre's lackeys, were you?" BC asks with subtle sarcasm.
"I was not," Erskine insists. "Not even from the same party. Simply lieutenant governor to his governor," she says. "And now, governor."
"Governor of Lunar Prime," BC muses. "That position has a checkered past, you know," he jokes. "I hear the last one left in some disgrace."
"You enjoyed that business, didn't you?"
Erskine accuses BC playfully.
"Yes, yes I did," BC admits with some glee. "Like I should even pretend to feel otherwise. Nothing to apologize for."
"I thought your god was all about love and forgiveness," she presses BC.
"Touché," BC agrees.
"It's time to move on, anyway," Erskine says. "McIntyre's the past. I'm all about the future," she claims. "We've been pretty lucky here on Lunar Prime. Not so many deaths from the plague. But it has passed through here. People have died. It seems to have started here," she pauses, clears her throat. "That's why I'm here, actually," she admits. "I've been told you know something about it," she says, leveling her gaze at BC.
"About what?" BC plays dumb.
"About the plague," she says with a touch of exasperation. "About how it started, what caused it, and why it started here," she says, getting in BC's face. "And I want to know just who and what this project you're suddenly in charge of is, here on my moon."
"Ah, the project," BC says, nodding.
He doesn't say any more.
"Well," Erskine says, finally, when BC doesn't continue, exasperated by his silence.
Where do I begin? BC asked rhetorically. Mbeki, what have you been telling the governor here?
Nothing, BC, Mbeki protests. She's been persistent, yes, but she's been told nothing you wouldn't want her to know, BC, Mbeki says, shaking his head.
Erskine clears her throat. What? BC asks. I'm getting kind of pissed off here, boys, she says sternly. I don't care how holy you folks are. Cute is cute, but there is too much shit going on for me to just ignore it, so don't patronize me.
I'm sorry, BC apologizes. We need your help, Amanda. We need allies.
I'll tell you what I can, Governor. Let me fill you in on a bigger picture than I used to know existed.
Where to begin? And what to say?
The project, BC begins, is a UTZ subsidiary. The project developed the transbase drive for the UTZ military. Once the military got to Mars, they left the project alone, but the project kept going. First on its base here on the moon, later out at an undisclosed base in the asteroids. I've just been named CEO of the project, replacing the recently deceased Van Kilner, who had been in charge of the project since its inception.
Wait, Van Kilner the scientist? Erskine says in surprise. My God, he must have been 100 or something. He must have been ancient.
He was, BC admits, and living in low gravity out in the asteroids.
Right, Erskine says, but she's shaking her head. But we haven't gone past Mars.
The project has. Van Kilner lived in the asteroids on a secret base. It's a nice place. I've been out there, BC tells her.
So, we really have been out past Mars? She asks him.
We have, BC assures her.
Then how come no one's heard about it? She protests.
They've been very quiet about it, BC says in an Elmer Fudd voice.
Don't mock me,
Erskine chastises him.
I'm sorry, BC says.
Look, I didn't learn about all this until just about a week ago. I'm just trying to keep this, light, you know?
Go on, she says, calming down.
Evidently, once the project developed transbase ships for the UTZ military to use to get to Mars, the UTZ military left them alone. So they stayed under the radar after that, but kept developing the transbase technology. They headed out to the asteroids to keep working unseen and unmonitored by the UTZ. They've been going back out there ever since, BC says. Even the UTZ Council had lost track of them. When I told the UTZ Council about the project, they had no idea what I was talking about. Which I used to my advantage to get them to name me the CEO of the project.
They didn't have much choice, BC says with a chuckle.
Nice, she says. Go on. The project base was here on the moon, BC says, but now the asteroid base is their main base of operations. They do still maintain their base here as a small outpost, right under your nose, as a matter of fact. They're still here, BC tells her.
What, the project? She asks, incredulously.
Yes, the project, BC tells her. You must know about the UTZ base on the other side of the moon.
That? I didn't think it was used much, if at all, she admits.
An old frontier survey lab. They keep a low profile, BC tells her.
What, that's the project?
Yep, BC confirms it. They still work out of there. Have you ever heard of flashers? BC asks her.
Flashers? She asks. Sure, everyone has. Superstition at work. Alien myths, legends.
Not exactly, BC informs her. Not quite. Those flashers are project ships, using adapted alien technology.
Alien tech?
She's taken aback.
Alien, BC assures her.
The project's been in contact with alien races, worked with a couple of them, adapted some of their technology. The flashers are us.
Really? So they're real? She asks.
They're real, he insists, reinforcing it. And I know of at least three alien races we, or the project, has been in touch with. They are the Domo. According to the project, they're kind of like vampires, but they have helped us. Then there's the Flays. They look a lot like the classic UFO aliens, but they're quiet. Keep more to themselves than the Domo. The Eldred I don't know that much about, BC pauses. Well, except that they probably brought the plague to the moon.
What?
Mbeki and Erskine both gasp in unison.
Yep, BC tells them both.
These aliens called the Eldred are more than likely responsible for creating the plague and delivering it here to the moon during our last peace conference. You asked what I knew about the plague, BC says, turning to Erskine. This is it. It looks like we have an alien race to blame for this plague. They're called the Eldred. I've asked them to meet with me, which I'm not entirely convinced is a good idea, necessarily.
No? Erskine says.
Well, I survived the plague at least so far, as have both of you, he gestures at Erskine and Mbeki. But Van Kilner had been exposed to it and survived too. I met with him myself not long ago, just before I, became Pope.
But his people tell me he had a more recent meeting with the Eldred in the last week or so, and after that he took sick and died. So I'm not positive that the Eldred won't take advantage of meeting with me and do the same thing, take me out.
You think they might try to take you out? Mbeki asks. And you still want to go?
I wouldn't say I want to. I think I have to, BC tells him. BC turns to Erskine. You're awfully quiet. Wow. You've just dumped a ton on me, Amanda Erskine tells BC. That's a lot to digest.
I was feeling left out, Mbeki jokes, sounding faux dejected.
Well, BC tells them, you're both all in now. That's where we're at. You now know pretty much everything I do. He turns to Erskine. And Becky's just learning all of this now, too. And you're one of the first to learn of all this outside of the project and the UTZ hierarchy, he tells her. I hope my candidness isn't lost on you. She shakes her head.
No, no, it's not. Thank you.
She pauses, mentally digesting all she's just learned from BC.
Okay, so, what do we do now?
I'm not entirely sure, BC levels with her. That's why I came back here, to get away and get a chance to think about it, to try to see the so-called big picture and figure out what's next, if there is a what's next. It's why I asked to meet the Eldred.
I see, she says.
I wanted to talk to Mbeki here, too, and I'd planned on speaking to you to see if you could be brought into the loop. I didn't think it was going to be the very first thing I did, but there you go. Sometimes the universe works in weird ways.
The universe, you're Pope. Aren't you supposed to be giving God the credit?
She ribs him. BC smiles good-naturedly.
Thank you for bringing me in, she says again. Although that is a lot to digest. She rubs her temples. Is there anything else I should know?
No, that's pretty much it, BC says. It's pretty much an all-or-nothing thing. You either hear it all or nothing. It all ties together too much. Aliens, ships, and bases. Oh my. He jokes.
I've still got to ask, Erskine says. What do we do now? Do you really want to meet with them?
She asks BC. Well, BC starts and then stops. I don't think we have much choice, that I have much choice. I have to meet with the Eldred and try not to die. Of course, I'm open to any other suggestions you might have, BC trails off.
I've got nothing, Erskine says. Not yet, anyway. This isn't something you can make a snap judgment on, you know.
Believe me, I know, BC assures her.
Having just learned about all of this, I'd like to take a little time to digest it all, give it some real thought, you know?
She scrunches her forehead.
I think I'll retreat to my offices and try to sort some of this out, if you'll excuse me.
She looks from BC to Mbeki, and then heads for the door. I look forward to any new ideas you might have, BC tells her as she leaves. As the door closes behind her, BC turns to Mbeki.
It's bad, Mbeki, so many dead. I'm the Pope of nothing. The church is decimated. I'm only Pope by default. There's no way I should be Pope.
Maybe not, Mbeki says. Or maybe you should be. Maybe you, Bernard Kempion, are the perfect person to be Pope right now under these extreme circumstances. Maybe God put you here and now to be in the right place at the right time. It doesn't matter because you are Pope now, so deal with it.
Tough love, Mbeki, BC says. Mbeki shakes his head.
And what of the UTZ? Mbeki asks.
What of them? BC asks.
What are they doing? Are they helping at all?
They're nearly worthless. They put up a good front, but they're really scared. People have died in record numbers, which is only okay with the UTZ if it's at their hands.
Mbeki chuckles and nods in agreement. But they really made you a CEO. Head of this project? Put you on the council? He asks BC.
They did, can you believe it? I wanted to get control over the project. None of those other CEOs could have handled it or would have known what to do with it. So I tried for an honorary CEO or something like that, but they went for it. Full membership and CEO of the project. BC laughs. Again, the world must be going to hell if I'm getting appointed to the UTZ Council.
Right, Mbeki says, slightly distracted. Hold on, something's... That's funny, he says, messing with something on his desktop.
A small private comm unit pops up out of the desk. Mbeki lifts it up off the desktop and hands the private comm to BC.
It's for you, he tells him.
BC takes the comm and puts on the headpiece. Hello? BC asks.
Kempion, Wentworth here. We need to talk. This line is secure. Is your location?
It's secure. I've got nothing to hide from anyone here, BC says. And Becky's it, and he's cleared.
Okay, Wentworth says with a slight hesitation. Fine. Here it is. We want you to take over the chairmanship of the UTZ Council.
What?
BC is stunned. What? He asks.
The chairman has died. As one of the CEOs on the UTZ Council, you are eligible for the position. I'm recommending that you be confirmed post-haste, so it will happen.
But why? BC asks. Why me?
Wentworth clears his throat on the other end of the line. We need you, Campion. I hate to say it, but it's true. You're in a unique position, BC. You know about the project, the aliens.
Can I think about this? BC asks him. I really need some time to think about this, he insists.
Okay, but not for too long. I can give you 18 hours, but then you have to decide, he says.
Why so tight a deadline? BC asks Wentworth.
We have not yet announced the, demise of the former chairman, Wentworth explains. We want to have our new chair in place when we do.
I see, says BC. Okay, then. I'll call you in the next 17 hours.
Good enough. Wentworth out.
BC sits for a moment still stunned, with the comm on but silent.
What was that about? Mbeki asks him, not having heard the exchange.
It just gets weirder, BC tells him. They want me to chair the UTZ Council.
What?
Mbeki exclaims, dumbfounded. BC shakes his head. I can't believe it. The more I run from authority, the more seems to pile on me. The more I'm becoming the authority.
Oh, the irony, Mbeki observes wryly.
I can't be the right man for this job too, Mbeki, BC protests. There's just no way.
But perhaps your very lack of ambition for these posts is what makes you the right person to hold them, Mbeki says philosophically.
Is that from the Bible? BC asks him.
Actually, I was thinking of an old poem by William Butler Yeats called The Second Coming. The best lack all conviction, while the worst are full of passionate intensity.
Mbeki finishes. Great, so you're saying my lack of conviction makes me the best man for the job? BC asks.
Take it as you will, BC.
BC gets up. I'm heading to my quarters for a while. I've got to give Wentworth his answer in the next 18 hours. BC pauses, realizes he's assuming too much. Are the guest quarters even available? He asks, realizing his mistake. Mbeki just laughs.
You are the Pope. This is the Vatican mission. You get to stay wherever, whenever. I assumed you'd kick me out of my quarters. Get your old quarters back. You're the boss. You get to make those calls now, BC.
Mbeki informs him.
You see, there are perks to the job.
So? BC pauses for effect. Are the guest quarters available?
No,
Mbeki says seriously. Then he lets out a sharp laugh.
Ha! I'm in the guest quarters. When the Curia told me you were coming, I decided to move. I thought that you would like your old quarters back while you were here. They're just down the
I know where they are, BC says, cutting him off. I built the place, remember?
Of course, Mbeki says.
I wouldn't have asked you to move, Mbeki, BC tells him.
I know. Not to worry. A change of scenery can often be beneficial,
he reassures BC. Thanks again, Mbeki. Thank you very much for everything.
You're welcome, BC. Now go get some rest. It sounds like you're going to be busy for a while,
Mbeki says. Indeed, BC agrees. He leaves Mbeki's office and heads to his old quarters. BC's mind is reeling as he walks. I feel like my brain is full. At least my head isn't hurting again. No more headaches, please. With so much going on, I can't afford to get knocked out by another one. With so much going on, I'm surprised I'm not feeling one coming on. Not that I'm wishing for one. I'm glad it's not, you know? The comm is flashing for BC's attention when he arrives in his old quarters. The source is a surprise. It's a priority message from Al-Salid of Mars. He's still alive. BC picks up the call. Al-Salid?
Campion,
Al-Salid says. How are... BC begins but stops when he realizes Al-Salid's message is recorded. Al-Salid continues after a quick pause.
Good. You and I are still alive. Allah's will be praised. We need to talk, Al-Salid tells BC. I am contacting you now directly myself because I must. Now is the time. There is much I hear tell of that strange, new, different. The only thing all these strange, new, and different things have in common is you, Bernard Campion, Al-Salid says. Or must I now call you Pope Peter? For the time being, I will call you Campion. But enough about such trivialities, Alcelede says dismissively. There are serious matters to discuss. Why do so many strange things lead back to you? Why is it when I hear that the plague may be an alien plague, I hear that Bernard Kempion knows what is going on? Why, when I hear of flashers, ships better and faster than any of us should have, do I hear of some project led by you, Kempion? You would seem to be in a central position, in a position to tell me what is going on. So, what is going on?
Jeesh, he's heard some of it, no doubt. The UIN still have agents among us, it seems.
We hear much from the New Catholic Church and the UTZ. I have heard that you are now Pope, of course, and word came today that you are now on the UTZ Council. I did not realize you were so ambitious, Kempion. But perhaps you are the unique individual needed in this unique time and in this unique place. If this is true, you have been given a unique opportunity as well. You can either rise or fall to the occasion. If you fall, all will know your failure, and all will fall with you. If you rise, if you succeed, all will rise with you. All will share in your success. It is the old story of the hero or the goat. You may be in a position to go either way. If any of this makes sense to you, I offer you my counsel. In any case, I ask you to call me, as soon as you can. We have much to discuss. I have said more than I had planned to in this message, but I will leave it all the same. Salam. Alcelede says in closing, and the message blips off.
Damn, PC says under his breath. More on my plate? Who does he think I am? Who am I? What am I now?
BC can almost hear an answer somewhere on the edge of his awareness, a tingle on the edge of his consciousness.
Yeah? You out there, God? You gonna answer that one, Jesus?
There is no answer.
The UTZ is in tatters, and they want me to take over the chairmanship of it? I'm already in charge of the NCC, although the Courier pretty much runs everything anyway. The Earth is a graveyard. They're having trouble keeping up with burying everyone who's died from this plague. But the UTZ tries to maintain a strong front. Survivors are turning to the NCC for comfort, for answers, but what do we have to offer? What do I have to give them? Nothing, really. Maybe some hope? Jesus, I just don't know. If I am the right person in the right place, the unique person for this unique situation, what do I do next? Meet with the Eldred? Should I not meet with them? What course? Should I return Alcelede's call? Why not?
BC turns on the comm and places a call to Mars, to Alcelede.
Kempion, this is a surprise, Alcelede says when the contact is finally established.
I found your message refreshing, BC says, searching for a word. Honest and thought-provoking.
Thank you, Alcelede says. Kind words coming from the nearly de facto ruler of planet Earth.
Oh, come on, BC answers.
Well, they're all turning to your NCC, to your religion. They are looking to you for their salvation, Kempion. You are their leader. Do you run from your responsibility?
No. Well, yes, sometimes. Maybe. BC decides to level with him. I'm just not... Well, I'm not used to it yet. All these responsibilities.
And I hear tell you may be adding more, Alcelede says. He lowers his voice. I hear you may be named the new chairman of the UTZ Council.
Damn, must be a leak on Wentworth's end.
Seems like you hear a great deal for someone isolated on Mars, maybe even more than I do, BC says.
Huh, let him chew on that one for a bit.
I'd like to hear more, Alcelede says. What else can you tell me?
He's going for it. Might as well tell him.
BC levels with Alcelede. He tells him all about the aliens, the project, the plague, the Eldred. Alcelede soaks it all in silence. And now I've asked the Eldred to meet with me, BC says, drawing to a close. What do you think?
There is much they are not telling you, is what I think. I will say more on that in one moment,
Alcelede says.
But I thank you for telling me what you know. Much of what you've told me I had heard in part from other sources, but the fact you've confirmed it and have not tried to dissemble about it is of prime importance to me. You have been straightforward and honest with me.
Thank you, BC says. I'm glad you realize that. I don't think we have anything to hide from each other anymore. There are bigger threats to all of us.
So,
You think these Eldred may hold the key? That this plague is their plague, a weapon used against us?
I do. At least I think so, BC affirms.
Then you should meet with them, Alcelid says. I believe this is a risk you must take, for all of us.
Oh, BC says.
I didn't expect a decision from him so quickly. Didn't expect that would be his answer either.
Well then, BC says, continuing, I guess I will. Thank you for your insights, Alcelid.
You are most welcome. I must also tell you something. The Eldred have been in contact with me as well. I do not believe they told you of this, Alcelid informs BC. This is another reason I am contacting you. They have asked me to meet with them to discuss religion. I was truly astonished to be contacted by members of an alien race. I did not know that they could be the originators of the plague. Now I must wonder about their motives. Thank you for this information, Alcelid says.
You're welcome.
Haven't actually spoken with them, Alcelid. They haven't told me anything. Wonder if they called Alcelid before or after my request for a meeting.
And Campion, if I may.
Yes?
You should accept the chairmanship of the UTZ, too.
But I hadn't said anything about—
No need, Alcelid interrupts him. I will be glad to see you in that capacity, Campion. It will be the first time ever that a real human being is in charge of them, Alcelid says.
Huh, Campion pauses. Thank you, Alcelid.
You are welcome, Campion. You have changed. Do you know this?
I have? I don't feel—
You seem different to me, Alcelid says. You are feeling more of the weight of this world, are you not?
What? BC asks, but then answers,
I guess I am.
We should meet after we get back from our meetings with the Eldred, Alcelid suggests. But we need to keep it quiet, low-key, and off the radar. People otherwise will read too much into such a meeting.
I could come to see you on Mars, BC offers. Maybe travel incognito.
The Curia's gonna love me.
Incognito, Alcelid says. He laughs. You do have a flair for the dramatic, don't you, Campion?
Do you think so? BC asks him. It's just that I'd rather work behind the scenes.
Indeed. That may no longer be an option for you.
You could be right, BC admits. Let's keep in touch on this.
Indeed. Well then, I look forward to our next communication. Call me when you need me, Alcelid says in closing. Good night, Campion. Allah be praised.
Good night, Campion answers. The comm goes silent.
Huh. Not what I expected, not exactly. But it's becoming clearer. I really do need to meet with the Eldred, don't I? It's becoming obvious. Should I call Anita now and find out if she set it up? Nah, it can wait. I've got to get some sleep. Now that I can sleep, I'm exhausted.
BC crashes hard, sleeps soundly, but wakes with a headache just behind his eyes.
Like an Irish punk band is beating on the inside of my skull. And like I almost had an answer to something in a dream. Lost it, though. Didn't make it past the waking edge. Just can't remember, but it feels like something was there.
BC has messages waiting for him when he gets to his temporary office. He gives a cursory glance to Vatican business, referring most back to the Curia.
They know what to do. They'd do it anyway. They'd just rather do it with someone telling them it's okay. What's this?
A voice message from Anita. BC, guess I got an earlier start than you. Give me a call when you get this, okay? Bye. BC calls her back. Hey, Anita, BC here. Good morning, she answers. The Eldred have been in touch. They seem to know you wanted to meet with them. They actually said they had wanted to meet with you to discuss religion, she says, sounding a little confused. Are you sure this is a good idea? No, BC tells her. But I am going to meet with them. Okay, she says slowly. Are you surprised? BC asks her. A little bit, she admits. I don't like surprises, she adds quickly, changing her tone and again saying more than she's saying out loud. I see, says BC, but he really doesn't.
I can only hope that it's easier to understand these aliens than it is to understand women.
I want you to set up the meeting for me, Anita. Put all the details together. Then just let me know where, when, and how. Use any of the project's resources you need to make it happen. I'll get right on it, BC, she says. She pauses for a moment. Are you sure you're doing the right thing?
What a question.
No, BC tells her honestly. But I don't see us having a lot of other options right now. That us being the human race, by the way. He chuckles at his attempt at humor. I guess I've got to do it. Okay. I'll be back in touch soon, she tells him. She cuts the connection.
The wheels are in motion. Now for Wentworth.
Cabian?
Wentworth answers BC's call.
Wentworth? You've decided to do it, I hope,
Wentworth says. I've decided. I'll do it. I'll head up the UTZ Council. But I can't be there for any speeches or announcements just yet. I've got a meeting to attend. It has to do with our new friends. The ones I was mentioning. The ones who may be responsible for the plague. I'm going to meet with them.
You are going to meet with them?
Wentworth asks in surprise. Seems like the only option open right now, BC says. Look, Wentworth, I'll write up a statement for you on the appointment. Then you can coordinate an official appearance with the Curia for a week from now. Deal?
Deal. You are an optimist, Campion,
Wentworth says.
Or just plain crazy.
He ends the transmission.
That was Vatican Ambassador, Chapter 17, Part 2, on Glow in the Dark Radio. Well, BC has let Governor Erskine of Lunar Prime in on the bigger picture, so to speak, and has been offered the chairmanship of the UTZ Council, continuing to fail upward. Plus, Al-Salid of the UIN made overtures, so BC told him about the aliens. Now, the Eldred have agreed to meet with him. So BC accepted the UTZ's offer, and the Eldred's. Wheels are in motion. We'll check back in Chapter 18, a Vatican Ambassador on our next episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. A reminder, you can get a free PDF comic book this month through Drive-Thru Comics, The Adventures of Alibi Jones, number 3, which features the done-in-one short story, Alibi Jones' Christmas Present, with art by Casey Bouchard and Christian Navarro and Juan Carlos Quatordio. A free PDF comic book available at Drive-Thru Comics. Just follow the link in the show notes. Again, I wanted to mention my calendar. The Ancient Stone Mysteries of New England 2024 calendar is available at ancientstonemysteries.com. You go to ancientstonemysteries.com, click on that link, it takes you to lulu.com, which is actually where you order the calendar if you want to get it before the holidays roll around here. We're running out of time, so I wanted to remind you of that. And a big thank you to my patrons. If you are one of my patrons, you know, I need your help and I appreciate it. So thank you again for helping me bring Glow in the Dark Radio, the podcast, to everybody. You guys are instrumental. And if you want to become a patron, you can do so for $2, $5, or $10 a month through patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. Or just go to my site, glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com, and follow the link to Patreon. That is all for this week. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio. Glow in the Dark Radio. This podcast presentation is copyright 2023 by Michael F. Luoma and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives, 4.0 International License, CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at Incompetech.com. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com and mikeluoma.com. This has been a presentation of Glow in the Dark Radio.